everyone. Typically for YouTube, we have a video episode. Well, I, in the spirit of ownership, am going to own that I did not hit the record button. We all had sat down, had a really good conversation, and all we have is audio left. So let me be the first to apologize to both of you. Harley, thank you so much for sitting down with us and recording this episode. It was a really good conversation, and I hope everyone sticks around and listens to it. This is episode 7 of What's Been Better. This week, we're continuing our conversation on ownership, but this time, we're talking about taking control of our life, making decisions that are right for you, writing your own narrative, and building a community are all a part of choosing the life that you desire. If you've been here before, you know that we cuss. And if you're new here, please get used to it. Today, we're joined by Harley Dave, one of the most empowered and informed women that I know. And she happens to be my cousin. Hi, Harley.
Hi.
Hi, Harley.
Nice to meet you finally.
Yes, it's nice to meet you too.
Long-time listener, first-time guest. I'm excited.
All right. That's awesome.
I appreciate you for riding with us from the beginning. Like, honestly.
That means a lot. The whole concept has been great. Like, I've loved, you know, watching this little fledgling podcast and seeing what it's become so far. Like, I'm really excited for you guys.
Thank you. Well, Lori, let's get started like we normally get started.
All right. Well, want to start with you? What's been better?
Yeah. Okay. So I had a run-in with a misogynist this morning, and it turned out to be fucking great.
What?
Really fucking great.
Where you find him? Did you walk outside and he was right out the door?
No, he was at my house. So our washer broke last week, and I had to call the home warranty, and they sent out this couple that I absolutely love, and they came and they fixed the washer. They've done it before. Mm-hmm. And then started washing the clothes. Threw them in the dryer, and the dryer wouldn't get hot. So I was like, fuck. So me, being me, of course, you know, I went to TikTok first, and I was like searching. So it was like, just take the door off and do this and fix this and whatever. Well, I did that, and it didn't work. So I was like, double fuck. Yeah. So called the home warranty, but they couldn't send out the same couple. They sent out this person, and this person came, and they're like, I've never taken the door off before. I don't know, like, what this is or anything like that. I just do this, this, and this. So he's like, can you put the door back together? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Because me, being me, I took all the screws out, but I had, like, little trays for each type of screw. And I, of course, took video because that's just me. So I knew where everything went. So I just popped the door back together, took it back over to the laundry room. And I was like, here's the door. So by the time I did that, he had already like halfway fixed the dryer. Mm-hmm. So when I put it back together, he was like, you're very handy. I've never seen a woman be able to do any of these things.
So how long has he been living in this world?
Really? So instead of me being like, oh, fuck you, I was like, well, women are capable of doing everything that you can do. I said, if I had as many years of instruction in this particular thing, I probably would have done this myself. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I guess you could have. Yeah, I could have. So it's like, Jesus, is this the life that we're living?
It's so many ill-informed people in this, planet, honey.
Really?
Ill-informed. Just like got the head, like we were talking about before, stuck in the sand, like unaware, just not knowing.
So, and I think he was like a little bit shocked also because Drew answered the door. Mm-hmm. But then when the guy was like, well, the doors, I was in the greenhouse, so I didn't even know that the guy was here yet.
Right.
So when I went over there, Drew just like was like, well, can you fix the door? And the guy doesn't know about the door. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Go back to work or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think the guy was also shocked that like it wasn't Drew. Mm-hmm. It was me.
Right.
And I was like, okay. So and he was like in the way. So I was like, can you like move so I can get to my tools? And so his eyes were already big, like your tools. yes, bitch, mine. Like,
does not compute.
It literally, like, he was just like, what? Yeah. So,
so Sylvia, were you a little bothered by that dude?
Oh yeah, no, I was aggravated.
About?
Like, don't. Well, obviously, like, misogyny pisses me off. But it was like, you don't know me. So why are you automatically being like, oh, you can do the thing? And it's like, well, duh. But right. Then for him to generalize and be like, women? I was like, what do you go home and do? Like, that
yes,
was like.
That's the part for me.
Yeah, because you know that he's going home being like, fixing my dinner, woman, or something. Like, he's doing something crazy, and he's not being proven wrong. I'm saying, like, he's not being proven wrong, and, like, his wife has accepted it, or his wife mm-hmm. hasn't done anything. Like, she hasn't poisoned him in his sleep or anything like that to make him stop, or, like, told him that he sounds crazy. Yeah. So it's like, no one is correcting him or proving him wrong in front mm-hmm. of his face.
Right.
So I'm like, you
so
said
you
that?
Did that, though, right?
Yes, because I said to him, I was like, women can do anything you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're being fucking weird.
That's really good, though, that you did that. And he was in his world and he happened to come into your world.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to share. It's like, when that happens, how do we respond to, I'm going to say, juvenile ignorance. You know,
right?
Because that's really what it is. He hasn't grown up in his knowledge of things.
No, no. And too, I was like, all right, welcome to introducing you to the Black Girl with Tools, because clearly,
right,
let me step past you so I can get my tools out exactly. of my bag. Like,
literally, you're right. in the way.
Yeah, like, what? Yeah. So he was really just like, what? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a power driver just like you have in your hand. Like, you're being weird right now. So, yeah.
He just didn't know. That's the thing. Mm-mm. And so I'm so glad that you did share and that you actually opened up his world a little bit more.
Yeah. And it was truly a fuck around and find out situation.
Like, exactly.
Welcome. Welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I hope that he takes it as not like this novelty that, oh my God, there's like one woman who knows how to do this and actually right. thinks about it and looks more into it, actually does the work himself. Probably not, but.
Probably not.
Well, let's hope. Well, we don't know. We don't yeah. know.
Yeah.
Let's leave room for what we hope for.
Yeah.
That's true.
I hope it rocked his world yeah. a little yeah, bit because he was really know. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Because then he wanted me to, like, help him. He needed me to, like, hold the door up. And he needed me to, like, prop stuff and do whatever. So, like I said, by the time mm-hmm. he got done, he didn't charge me full price. So.
Really?
No.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
I don't know if it was an apology or if it was like, oh, she did do some of the work. Yeah.
But I feel like that did make him just sit there and like really think about it. If he actually took that extra step to give you a reduced price, then yeah, I think this is.
He didn't say anything though. He just like typed in the price and was like, put your card in. And I was like, this is sure.
Okay. Right.
I'm not going to say
anything. Was he an older guy? Was he a younger guy?
I really couldn't tell you what his age was. I know he wasn't younger than me and I'm 41.
Okay.
So
okay.
He wasn't younger than me.
So he was a man of age and mm-hmm. of a time.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
So again, you just rocked his world. You really did.
Welcome.
I'm so glad you did, because yeah. now hopefully life is a little bit better for him. He won't generalize women.
True.
He'll individualize people.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. I mean, yeah. now he has a real life of example of what women are capable of.
True.
That he can refer
True.
To.
Yep.
I love yep. that. That's a good that's been better, or what's
yes.
been better.
For once. For
right,
once.
Right.
Yes. A helpful one.
Right. So Harley, what's been better for you?
Well, right now, I actually had my surgery on the 27th.
Okay.
So, you have to tell everybody what the surgery is.
Yeah. So I had a tubal ligation on the 27th, and it was the fallopian tubes completely removed. I didn't have them cut or burned. I just had them removed altogether. It was a really simple procedure. They were able to just do two small incisions and actually remove them on either side. They mm-hmm. had like a little camera go through my belly button so they could see exactly what they were doing. And then it was a really short procedure. It's probably like 2 hours max. I was home the same day.
Wow.
And I was off for work for 2 weeks. So I was actually back to work this week. But it's a total 6 weeks of healing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I have to make sure I don't lift anything heavier than 10 pounds because I could get a hernia. But once we're out of that 6 week period, I'm good.
Okay. Okay.
So mainly I'm just concentrating on healing, taking it easy, which is, it's been really nice because I needed this time, especially mm-hmm. that 2 week off, yeah. 2 weeks of work. That I took off, that I just really needed to reset because mm-hmm. I was getting to a point at my job where I was just like unhappy. So really this has been great to just take a second, breathe. The support that I'm getting from my family and friends in my decision has also been refreshing and reaffirming for me. And right now I'm just healing and I'm a little emotional, but I'm happy.
Which is fine.
Yeah, I'm really happy with what I did. Yeah,
I hear you. I hear you. Was it like a health complication that you needed that taken care of?
No, I so I've known that I haven't wanted children for a very, very long time. Like mm-hmm. since basically I was a child. That's how I like to tell people. Since I was a child, I knew that I didn't want children.
Mm-hmm.
In my mid-20s, I did look into doing something more permanent. But at the time, I was turned away by a couple of doctors because either I was too young, I was single, so I didn't have anybody to sign off on paperwork to allow me to do this. I didn't have children. and I'm like, but the point is, I don't want children ever. So why does having a child the only thing that qualifies me to get this procedure done?
Mm-hmm.
So I was stuck waiting until I was 35 to try to do something, especially if I was going to be staying here in the state of Ohio.
Right.
Because that's the only time as a single woman unattached they would even consider me for anything like that.
It's crazy.
But this past summer when Roe v. Wade was overturned, which I was devastated by, there was a list of doctors going around for the state of Ohio that would allow you to do, they would consider you to do the procedure even though you weren't meeting all those qualifications that I had listed.
I found
a doctor within my city, actually, and I immediately got an appointment with her. Now, it was 2 months before I could even see her in person.
Wow.
To discuss that I was like on a waiting list, but right. I finally got in this past December and everything just snowballed after that. She was like, I can't. You know, it's up to you. It's your body. This is what you want. This is what you're sure about it. You're healthy. You qualify. Let's get this appointment going. So it just happened so fast. From that first consultation with her to in the beginning of December to actually having my surgery on the 27th of January. Like, that's how quickly it happened.
Okay. But that's, that is like
yeah.
clockwork.
Yeah. Wow.
So where are you now as far as your choice? How do you feel about that?
I still feel confident. I still, and like I said, I feel reaffirmed.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And I'm just, it's like a release. It's been a weight. Nice. It's such a relief to have accomplished something that I've wanted done for years, mm-hmm. decades.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
I can finally say, like, I've done everything that I can do possibly to make sure that something I don't want to happen doesn't happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it is your body. It is your choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is exactly why I wanted to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But also I wanted this conversation so that way, if there are other people that don't know these pre-qualifications, these requirements exist in their state, or don't know that this surgery is possible, or don't know their options that they can mm-hmm. start thinking about them, because mm-hmm. I didn't know that these were the options.
Wow. I didn't either.
Until much later. Mm-hmm. I knew that there were like these processes and procedures, but when I found out, it was like, you must have this, you must have that, you need a man to sign off on this for you, you must be married, yeah. you know, all these things. I was like, what the
Now, talk about misogynistic.
Right. Yes. So, and you know, we want to get back, we want to get into that more, but Lori, before we go even further down this road, what's been better for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, my day had started off really shitty, like really yeah. shitty. But I had to reframe, right? I had to reframe and not make it all bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And for anybody who's dealing with issues with their children, especially in their 20s, in your 20s going into their 30s, there are a lot of choices that your children make that are almost catastrophic. And wow. you want to come in and you want to rescue them. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so serious, because it's like, where do you go from being a mother and mothering mm-hmm. to stepping away to mothering from behind or fathering from behind to let them make their choices, even if those choices are choices that you don't agree with?
Yeah.
It's very, very serious. Hmm. And sometimes I feel like Harley in that, damn it, I don't want children. You know, mm. for whatever reasons you didn't want children, it's like, I can imagine with so many. And for children, and I love my children, I won't take them back for anything. I won't, you know, I can't send them back anyway if I wanted to, but
no,
there's no return so
like that.
Lord have mercy sometimes, Lord. But at the same time, it's a lot of learning lessons is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to learn how to allow them to make decisions for themselves and hope for the best. And yeah. so that's where the reframe came in. Lori, this could be worse, and it's not. So hope for better. And that's yeah. all I had. And so sitting with you all just right, even in this moment, it's just, I feel
good. Good.
Yeah. But I will tell you, it's not easy at all. Parenting is no yeah. effing joke.
And mm-mm. that difficulty is, I don't know for you, Harley, it's part of the reason. I mean, I have a list of reasons why I was just like.
Yeah, I do. I have a list of reasons.
I mean, honestly, you know, teaching, seeing my siblings go through it, seeing my friends mm-hmm. go through it,
mm-hmm.
Meeting people, just, yeah, I've always wavered until like it got to a point where I was like, I'm absolutely not doing this. So having those conversations with Drew was very tough, because I felt like I was taking something away from him, because I always knew like he's going to be a great dad. I watch him with his nieces and his nephews and our friends' kids and any kid. And he's just like a kid magnet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell y'all a funny story of how we really settled on, okay, we looked at each other and we were like, we are not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody he worked with, they had a child and their child was in figure skating. And so they were kind of sitting around the office and they were talking about, you know, what they had to do for the weekend, and because the weekend was coming up. And this guy says, yeah, we've got to take whatever the little girl's name to figure skating practice. And we've got to be there at 6 a.m.
Ciao.
On Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew was like, I don't love myself enough to go to anything at 6 a.m. on a Saturday. I know the fuck I'm not getting up. And when he came home and told me that story, I was like, so we're on the same page.
Right.
We are not doing this. And that set the ball in motion of like, what do we do? Preventative measures. How are we going to go about this? Like, what are the choices that I have? What are the choices that you have? Because like, we are not having kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it has always been a point of contention, I think, for me to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pushback that you get, you know. The countless number of times that people have been like, you two are selfish. I'm like, we're selfish over somebody that we don't fucking know. We don't even know these kids.
Let me tell you something. Oh my God. That to me, like, it's like me putting my nose into somebody's business that I don't know.
Right.
Right. Like, you say, you need to have your tissue go over and not under. Like, you know, like, how the hell can I, from this position, make a decision over there?
I mean, Harley, do you get that? Have people told you
that? I do, yes. Yes. Oh, I get that. In fact, we threw a party to celebrate the surgery. Like, me and my mom, she's getting a vasectomy. And then I got this. We threw a party. And one of the things, one of the games that we played was Breeder Bingo. And it was a bingo card that had all the phrases just like that. You're so selfish for not having children. And I think we ended up with almost like over 50 phrases that we used on different bingo cards, shuffled it around. And before the party, my brother was reading some of the squares, and he's like, almost every single one of these squares I've heard said to you while I was with you or around you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, ever since I started speaking out loud about my desire to not have children, in various ways, I've been told, you're selfish. You'll never know love the way a mother.
Let me tell y'all. That's wild. Harley, I just want to clear up something real quick. You said your mother had a vasectomy?
Yes. So, and what I did ask her that to, if I could mention it. So, she's been having problems with fibroids for over the last few years. This last year has been the most difficult for her. It had gotten to the point that she, because of these fibroids, she actually needed a blood transfusion.
Okay. Wow. Do you mean a hysterectomy?
Yes. Did I say?
You
what
said
did I say?
Me.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
And both of us were like, no, maybe it's different. I know.
I'm not hysterectomy.
Hysterectomy. Okay.
I was looking up something as like a reference before we even.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's in my brain. Okay. But yes, hysterectomy. I apologize.
It's okay. It's all right. Listen, I just wanted to clear the air because I'm like, this shit is maybe not possible. Now. It's not possible.
It's like, surgery's different now.
There's no way.
Okay, ride. Hysterectomy.
Yeah.
So she was having problems to the point, like I said, she needed a blood transfusion, and there was some issue with her doctor as well that they just weren't. She's like, I preferably just want everything taken out. But the doctor just kept saying, no, let's try this medication. Let's do this.
No.
The entire time she's having excessive bleeding. It took going to a different doctor and discussing the issue with them that they're like, this is ridiculous. We should have pulled the trigger on this a year ago.
Wow.
You should not have needed to go through all the struggle for them to finally make a decision. So let's do this now. So her surgery was actually yesterday.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought she had it before yours.
No, okay, mine was before hers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where was I going with this? Sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay. Take your time.
Oh, the Breeder Bingo. So since we realized we were both having surgeries, we were like, well, we're both happy about this. Like, she's finally going to get rid of her uterus that's been causing all this problem for her. It's going to be such a relief for her. I'm doing something that I've wanted for years. Let's celebrate it.
So, okay. When you guys were celebrating, because let me just tell people, when I saw the video, first of all, I'm always jealous when y'all have get-togethers and things that I live down here and y'all live up there and that we're not together because we always have a good time. But when I saw the Fruitless Fiesta, I literally screamed. Like, I think I screamed in the message that I sent you because I was just like, this is everything I've ever wanted. Like, look at these women taking control of their life and like dictating their narrative out loud to the world. And there's nothing anybody else can say about it. Like,
yes,
you can have all 50 phrases on that bingo card, but it won't matter because you own this. Like, that kind of ownership is at your age, even though we're like not that different in age. It was just like, oh man, that would have been so much more powerful at that age. That would have been so much easier because I think the more, I started speaking up, just like you, it was like, meh, 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 from any and everybody, strangers on the street.
That's when we really have to have our narrative, like wrote in a sense. Like, we have to have it so ingrained in us that anything somebody says is like water off a duck's back. Like, we can't give two shits. That's why I wear my hat so proudly.
I see.
Like, seriously, I can't give a fuck what you think because you don't live in my body.
No.
You don't experience what I experience. You don't feel what I feel. How dare you say anything to me?
I don't
tell you about where you should sleep at night or what food you should eat or where you should go or who you should date.
Yeah.
Like, not my fucking business.
It's crazy though. Like, do you run into people who are just like, did you get on your bingo card people that are like, you're going to be lonely or no man's ever going to want you? Or, oh my God.
And what's happening is they're projecting onto you what's going on in their mind. That's how they feel if that happened to them.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Yes. And so we really have to really breathe through that.
That's my point. Like, why do I need a child not to feel lonely? I'm so comfortable being on my own, being by myself, in my own company. Sometimes I prefer my own company. I have to take that time to reconnect with myself. And that's for me. That's such a sacred space for me, for myself. And it's such a hard boundary for me too. So when someone tells me that, I'm like, first of all, who the fuck are you? No, you're not going to tell me nothing about this because you don't know.
Good for you. Good for you. Exactly. Exactly.
And I don't think people understand other people's lived experience or what people see in the world. Like I mean it when I say Harley is one of the most informed people that I know. Like, she's looking at what's going on in the climate, what's going on with the justice system, what's going on with everything that's happening. And it's like, people that are like, you need a child. It's like, why would I bring a child into this world?
Into
this scenario? We're not thinking about these things of like, what would be up against my child that is going to be a black or brown child? In this country. Why would I want somebody else to immediately be born into suffering? Who might not even have a chance to live because the infant mortality rate. Like, that alone is like, what are you, have you thought about that? Because you couldn't have thought about that telling me that I'm selfish or that I won't know love or that it'll be different when it's yours.
Right.
I hate that one. That one is like, but you must not know me.
But you know, and another thing, you got the babies being born and you having to go to work, so then there's that. And then you have the children when they are preschool age and primary school age. When you have parents who are not really spending time, because you can't legislate morality, you can't legislate who spends time with their children, who doesn't, who takes care of their children and who doesn't. And you're in a public school system to where all types of children are around your child. You got bullying. Now, you got positive things too, but you're still having to deal with these different elements of things. Sick children.
You know, you don't know what you're going to get.
The possibility of contracting certain diseases or certain ailments. And then you have getting older. You got to deal with the bullying again. You have so many things to deal with at every stage of a child's development, and then you got your own development to deal with.
Right. Because there's no manual. Like, Lori and I talked about this how long ago about, like, there's no standardized version of, like, this is exactly how you raise a child. This is how you keep a child alive. Like, there's none of that because we can't agree on it. So it's like, you're not going to give me instructions. You're not going to give me good health care. You're not going to give me time off. But you want me to, like, just have this child because it'll be, I'll know what love is.
Right. What you are going to do is shame me for not doing a good enough job in your eyes, whatever that means. And then I also have my local, state, and federal government working against me as a parent if that's what I chose to become because of defunding things or book bans. Like, and if you're going, if I need to have a job in order to make money, and you're saying, well, if you have a problem with defunding or state regulations or the fact that they're not teaching kids our actual country history, well, then you should homeschool. Well, who has time to homeschool if I have to go to work?
You got to And I'm not allowed to work from home because my manager wants to see exactly what I'm doing. Right. So what are we doing with this kid?
And then if you're homeschooling your child, you have to make sure they're socialized somewhere else. Because if you're, you know, so it's like at every stage, there's something else.
Yeah. I also want to clear up the narrative for a lot of people that when I say I don't want children, I'm saying I don't want to be a parent. I am not saying I don't like kids.
I'm saying
there's nothing in me that could give up or give everything I have to someone that I, first of all, don't know because they're not here. And second of all, I don't know that I would have the capacity to do a good job. Like, I just don't, you cannot tell me for sure 100% that everything that I would do would be good enough to raise a productive citizen, to raise someone that won't be harmed, that, you know, that I could protect this person. You can't tell me that. And I'm not willing to risk anything for that.
Just to find out.
Especially
to the point where your child turns 25 and tells you to fuck off. Then you get to that space.
I don't know how you do it.
And then you're like, okay, well then we're fighting.
Yeah.
Never mind, I can't fight my own kid, but I would throw hands and
I'm right. You can get this. Like, today is the day.
Right.
I guess what I want to clear up for my own self, when I say I don't want children, that does not mean that I don't care for children. That does not mean that I don't want children to have the best of everything. Like, I don't want to see any child harm.
Exactly.
I am hyper defensive about kids having the best of everything that is available, like, especially a free and appropriate public education.
I
take that so seriously. So watching governments like Florida, Georgia, Arizona, all these other states rip apart the public education system in the name of, like, giving parents rights is beyond
or personal vendettas that you're unhappy.
Yeah.
That more people are educating themselves.
Yeah. That want you in office.
Right. Mm-hmm. And especially, like, for Black children who already have issues, and then you deal with this critical race theory stuff. And you, and then in Florida, when you take Black history or teaching Black history out of schools, like, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
At all levels, like, including college. Before, you know, the first time most people really dip their toe into Black history is college classes. And now you're even stripping that away.
Yeah.
So you're actively working against yourselves.
Right.
You know, it blows my mind.
You're literally working against yourself because you didn't see how this backfired in 2020. Like,
right.
You're literally just waking more people up. You're poking more bears by just being like, well, you don't need this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now you have Georgia doing the don't say gay bill, like Florida, which is just layer upon layer of bullshit.
Then you have to, I get angry and I'm just so enraged and I'm just like, okay, I have to take a step back.
Yeah.
I have to breathe because me just being mad about it isn't really going to do anything.
Right. Right.
I need to redirect this energy, but it still pisses me the fuck off.
Yeah. And I hear
we
you.
Have to read about this or go through this or fight against it.
Yep.
Yeah. What, yeah. And I think this is waking more people up to choose to own their own body, like you're doing. So I applaud you. I applaud both of you for deciding to do what you're doing, because you have a choice. And you're like, no, all of these things are happening. I check no, and there's no box. I am choosing to not bring a child into this world. And I'm going to say that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but that's me saying that's okay. It was okay for you already. You didn't even need that from anybody, me included, right?
Yeah.
So, right.
I wanted to ask you real quick, Sylvia, before we jump into the party, because I definitely want to hear about this party. How did you and Drew decide to, like, what did you use to make sure that you were child free?
I don't know if we want to talk about that.
Okay.
I will have to ask him how he feels about talking about that. But we did, like, have a lot of conversations and talk to our doctors, and we made very permanent decisions, like Harley did.
Okay. So, and they were okay with it. So they didn't give you any hard time.
It was still like, we were both still questioned, and both still got the, well, are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is very permanent.
Right.
And we both were looking at the doctors like, if I came in here today and asked for this, obviously I'm sure. Obviously I'm serious. But we didn't realize, because all of this happened at the same time of like the Roe v. Wade situation was reversed, and we were both like, what are we gonna do?
Right.
Because I mean, y'all know us. We will pick up and move out of this country in a moment.
I love that.
We will pick up
guys.
And move. In a moment, you know, it's just a thing. Mm-hmm. So we were like, we cannot, we would not want to try to shuffle our lives around if we were forced to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both, at the time, we were both 40. Mm-hmm. And we were like, 40 and having a child is not going to work.
Right.
40 and all of my health complications alone was like, I don't want to start off the very first time having a complicated pregnancy. Like,
oh my God, yes.
Yeah. And then for me, my number one reason has always been my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I did not have the mental health capacity to bring a child into this world. And I didn't want to pass anything along directly, indirectly, anything like that. And so that was like my main decision. I joke around about so many other things, you know, not going to figure skating practice at 6 a.m. and I'm not doing Girl Scouts and football practice. I'm not doing those things, but like honest conversation of like my health, my mental health, I didn't want to pass that on.
Yeah. And I commend you so much, Sylvia, for having the foresight, the wherewithal. And you talk about selfishness, like, right. Like people talk about, oh, you're selfish for, no, that's selfless.
Yeah.
That is so, that is so aware. You're so aware and understand that this thing could continue.
Yeah.
And it's
and it
so
could be worse. It could be much worse.
Girl, look, I got stories.
I know you do. I know you do. As a mom of three, like I know you have stories. Like and it's terrifying to me that people would just go, it'll be fine, or they're
that's what
rolling
I'm
the dice.
You don't know. Genetics is something else. It's genetics. We all took that shit. We took genetics.
Yeah.
So it's not just the husband and the wife. It's the husband's mother, or the husband's father, or the husband's auntie Nem, or the husband's grandmother, or the mother's anything. Right. So you don't know what's going to come into that child.
Right.
And not just hereditary. We got influence. We have influence in school. We have influence everywhere, in church.
Yes.
We have influence everywhere. So it's not just the genetics. It's also influence around them.
Right.
So you just don't, you don't have a clue how that child is going to turn out.
And that was too risky.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of my main, top of my list on why I'm not having kids is, you know, mental health and health reasons. Like, I like to say I have a lot of minor health issues, but roll them all together, they impact so much of my daily life. I struggle daily sometimes with the different health issues I have. And I do, just don't want to pass that on. And I barely have a handle on how to, not manage my own health and my own health issues. Let alone on top of a child that might have inherited something. Now I have to manage both of us, and I'm barely managing myself.
Exactly. And it's too risky, because you also, like you said, you don't know what his family has, what your family has, and how we're going to compound that on some new person who doesn't have the health care, doesn't have the time off, doesn't have the care that could be given, because you got to go back to work, because you have to go to public school, because you have to do whatever. So it was a very serious decision. I'm glad that we made the decision. We do kind of look at each other and high five sometimes when we see certain situations. We're like, whew, we made a good decision.
Yes,
or we made
the
right decision.
And I do want to say this just so people know that sterilization of any type is usually going to be covered under Obamacare. It's one of the things that are still lingering, that as a protection. Most insurances will cover it at 100%, any of these procedures. Or if they're not covering it, you're going to get a steep discount, usually if you're with a network. So I don't think a lot of people know that, that this is something still covered under the Affordable Care Act. So I think it's really important for people to know and discuss it with their doctor. If they didn't know that and they've been like worried, talk to your doctor, ask them. And I was shocked. I didn't know until I actually had that consultation that it was going to be covered almost 100%.
That's awesome news. That's good. That's good information.
Yeah, I looked at my claim with my insurance, and I can tell you now, the procedure was almost $15,000. So the fact that this is covered and I'm not going to have to worry about that, I mean, do it. If anyone has been thinking about it, talk to your doctor. You'll be surprised by how much of it is covered, if not all of it.
That's awesome.
I will also say, I will also say on the men's half as well, like, have honest conversations about what the procedures are like, what the recovery time is like. Talk to your friends, because you have friends that have had a vasectomy and you just don't know it. And women, talk to your friends, because you have friends that have had tubal ligations and you just don't know it. But because we're not talking to each other, and because we're taking like the number of people that I've heard of, like men being like, you walk out with your balls in your hand, or, you know, just like all these like crazy things, like you don't know how the procedure works. That's why you're not getting it done. You're just listening to comedians. You're just,
well, they're
making
full
shit
of fear.
Up the internet. Yes. So it's the same as like women who are like, oh, I couldn't do anything for like 6 years. It's like, come on.
It's not the case. Now, for me, the option that I chose, a complete removal of my tubes, obviously that isn't something that can be reversed.
Right.
But if you get them tied, that is something that can be reversed if that's what you choose. The point is, do your research and do what's best for you.
Yeah. Yes. And I do have to say, there is a difference between making a choice, an educated choice for your health, and fear, like listening to other people, right? And going off of that. Like Harley said, do your research, right? And if you decide to have children and you're not sure, you're nervous, and you do have children, it's not to say it's going to be end of the world either.
Right.
Because of course we didn't have a manual, and you might not want to raise your children like your parents raised their children. So again, it's all about reading, finding your community, getting the help that you really need to weather this. I'm not going to say the storm of having a child, but being able to weather parenting, because it's not something that is taken lightly. It is serious, especially if you you walk this road with a mate, and then something happens, and then you have to be a single parent. So that's a whole nother entity in itself.
Right.
So it's just very, very important that we understand that we all do have choices, and it's very important that we really do our research and find our community that will support us in whatever choices that we make.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay, before we leave, you have to tell us about the Fruitless Fiesta, or can we all just like go to your Instagram and look at the videos of it?
Yeah, you can definitely go to my Instagram. But the reason why vasectomy was on my mind was because when we were decided to let's throw a party, we were like, well, obviously we have a theme. We're both, you know, having surgeries that are going to be relief for health problems. You know, these are things that we want to celebrate with our friends. But the only thing that I could find online for like party ideas and themes was for vasectomies.
How misogynistic, right?
It's not about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, so I so used the outline of these vasectomy parties for the basis, like where can I change this to suit our needs for our party.
Okay.
So there were cakes that were, you know, happy snip day or whatever, and I was like, well, why don't we do cookies and have them be ovaries or uteruses and tubes or for noobs and things like that. the other thing that I did, we did, because it was me, my sister-in-law, and my mom who really got all the decorations together. We just Googled memes, childless memes, child-free memes, things like that, printed them out, put them on nice paper, and just like had them around the room.
Okay.
For party decorations. We found just lots of Googling on Etsy and searching on Etsy, Googling images. We were like looking for ideas. Eventually, we did come upon parties for hysterectomies.
Okay.
But clearly, that wasn't suiting both of our needs. But we were able to find a lot of those images with like the uteruses like throwing up their middle finger, which is what we printed out to put on gift bags.
For the parties. Yeah, that's the one I saw. That I was like, this is it.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's so cool.
And then I just got crafty and I went to the craft store and I made that Fruitless Fiesta banner and just made it my own. So, but it was those vasectomy parties that were the basis, because there was nothing like what we were doing.
I'm still cracking up that men were having vasectomy parties. Like,
yes.
Have more of them.
Whoever you are.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you if you invited guys who have vasectomies, because, I mean, it's all the same in a sense where you
I honestly don't know anyone personally who, not that I've been asking either. Like you said, we weren't talking about it. So there could be more than I know.
Right.
So anything I got was purely just online searching.
Yeah.
So, but I would have, I actually did, we kept the guest list kind of small because people do have really strong opinions about being child free or, you know, taking control of your own narrative to make sure that doesn't happen. So we just invited people that we like knew for sure weren't going to have an issue. And then we kind of spoke about it like after it happened. And then we got more and more like, oh, I wish I would have known. I would have been there. And I was like,
I would have showed up.
We were being really cautious at first.
But you know, but, I think, I think you could take this show on the road in a sense. Like, I'm always thinking about how this could help a bigger or larger group, because you started something, right? And this is the other thing. Just because you're choosing not to be a biological parent, because like something Sylvia said about Drew being a great father, I think he would be a great father. He is. He is a father. He's a surrogate father.
Yeah,
and and it's very important that we recognize that anybody that we influence is a form of parenting. And we really have to reframe. We have to really get that anytime we have some type of influence, we are parenting in a way. Because parents, all they are influencers. Mm-hmm. They're influencers. They are people who guide. We are guiders in a way. We guide people. We help people understand in a different way. So you might be an influence more than you know to a niece or another young lady or a little gentleman. So we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true. I mean, I do plan to be my brother and his wife. They're going to be going down the whole family route. They will be soon trying to have kids. And I do personally, I don't hate children.
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not, I just don't interact with kids. I don't really have the interest to, but I do plan to be involved, mm-hmm. you know, in my future niece or nephew's life, mm-hmm. especially as an educator, making sure that I feel like they're learning the things they should learn mm-hmm. that schools aren't teaching them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because we know those gaps exist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's my biggest goal as far as my future role in their potential mm-hmm. life. And I do agree, once I got this feedback about this party and how happy people were, they had never heard of something like that. Like, I have been thinking, like, how can I don't know, make this more available or mm-hmm. a space, or I'll even help anyone mm-hmm. who wants to plan something mm-hmm. like this. I've been thinking about that. I don't have anything concrete yet.
Yeah.
So, but I was touched by the amount of support that we had gotten about the party.
Yeah.
It was a great idea, and it was it gave me a little extra like
yeah,
right decision. Like, okay, this is good. Even though I didn't need it, but yeah, I to see other women step out and say out loud, like, this is a decision I'm making for myself. Mm-hmm. No one else has to help me with this decision. No one else is necessarily influencing this decision, and that you can do it too. Mm-hmm. Like, let's celebrate ourselves. Let's celebrate our bodies. Let's own our bodies and own our mm-hmm. stories. So I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, the sense of like camaraderie that you got, and not just like, well, you'll probably regret this. Like, there was none of that involved at all.
That's beautiful.
People just genuinely happy that you are doing something that you wanted to do. And I'm so happy for you. Mm-hmm. And that's helped a lot. Yeah. I have to say.
Cool.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
Well, thank you, Harley, for number one, being a listener, and number two, being a guest, and being an awesome cousin. And sharing your story. Like, this is the type of stories that we want to hear and that we want everyone to hear, because a better life is totally possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Their stories are meaningful, and they make a difference.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
All right.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's show. I'm Lori Scott.
And I'm Sylvia Johnson, and you've been listening to What's Been Better.
A big thank you to Lagan Music, Inc. for providing our music. This show is edited and produced by us, with a little help from our family and friends. We love you all.
We want to hear what's been better for you. To be a guest on the show, send us an email to questions@whatsbeenbetter.com. Or you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at What's Been Better Podcast.
Thanks for listening.